Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton at ASTD 2014 in beautiful Washington, D.C. Stone, getting day two started.
We got folks walking the carpet already. It is teeming with vitality, and it is no longer Cinco de anything,
It's Seis de Mayo.
It's Seis de Mayo. So you know that because you were raised in South Florida.
That's right.
Got the lingo down. This is a fantastic way to get the day started. We have with us the Kirkpatrick duo. We have Wendy Kirkpatrick and Jim Kirkpatrick, owners of Kirkpatrick Partners. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
You guys draw quite a crowd. There's lots of people taking your picture. You must be used to that by now, though, right?
Paparazzi follow you guys around the whole conference?
They're all taking Wendy's picture.
Oh, I don't know about that. I saw a girl kissing my husband yesterday, and, you know, I had to wonder about that just a little bit. But, yeah, we are very lucky to see lots of people who we have met all around the world here at the conference.
It was a professional kiss, not a personal one.
I was kind of checking that out, actually.
I might try that story at home. We'll see how that flies. Now, Wendy, you've already been on the platform. You presented a session, was it yesterday?
Yes, my session was yesterday, and I was really thrilled to see lots of full seats. And, you know, Jim and I have been talking about the fact that the caliber of the questions that people are asking really seems to be elevated. So it seems like the idea that we don't just train people, but that people really need to go and apply and use this and create business results is a topic resonating around the world. So we are thrilled to see that advancement of the industry.
So now, what was your topic that you spoke about?
I was talking about secrets to simple and effective training evaluation. So how to really demystify the idea of reinforcing that people really need to use this stuff on the job and that their job is to create performance and then ultimately results.
Lee, you and I were talking about this at breakfast. It seems like when it comes to measurement, the math is simple enough, right? It's not complicated math, but isn't it tough to get your arms around the source of return on the investment that you're making in training and development, like where it's really coming from?
You know, that is a question that a lot of people want to know, is where is it coming from? It's not so hard to know what needles are moving, the business needles, but to what can you attribute it to? And our model is all about not trying to isolate any one factor, but all of the things that we bring to bear, the coaching, the mentoring, the reinforcement, anchored by the training. And we try and kind of present the relative contribution as sources collectively of those needles moving.
So now, reinforcement's an element of learning in design, right? Now, what's the challenge there?
Well, I think a lot of people think of doing a training program and then afterwards saying, okay, now what are we going to do to reinforce it? And I think a lot of what would demystify this for people is if they really thought during the design and development phase of what am I going to do before training, during training, and after training. And if you build your reinforcement plan as part of your overall program and basically have it ready to go, then it's really not difficult at all. It's just another element of your program.
So right now people they do training and they think that that's kind of they're done now. And then you're saying to build reinforcement as part of the training so that not only do you get training, but you get these elements of reinforcement down the road.
Exactly. I think we need to get out of this event mindset and really think about this as a program. How do we prepare people to learn? How do we make sure they do learn? And then after they've learned it, how do we make sure that they are willing, ready, and able to apply it? And that we've made that as easy as possible for them.
One of the things that we find is critical is when we get our marching orders for training from our executives, sponsors, you know, customers, whatever, we dare not let them believe that the training alone is going to do it. And all they have to do is put their feet on the desk and their managers sit back and wait for things to happen.
So they kind of partially want that, right?
They do. That's why it's a difficult conversation to let them know the level of effort that's going to be required to get the goals that they are saying they want to see. And that's right where we start to talk about your managers, your supervisors, even you will need to be involved in the reinforcement and the accountability, because we don't have the authority or the reach to make that happen, but you do.
Well, and that those mid-level managers, they can untrain them quicker than you can train them, can't they, Wendy?
They sure can. They have a lot more authority than we do, so it's so important to have them involved from the beginning. Because you're right. Hey, if we say something in the classroom and they go back to work and their supervisor says, yeah, I know what you learned, but this is how we do it in our department.
Right, because our thing's different, right?
Yeah, I mean, people are going to listen to their supervisor.
So do you hear people talk much about, do they still get requests? I'm sure they're articulated a little more eloquently than this, but it essentially boils down, I need you to fix Bob. Right? I mean, is there still some of that?
Sure, because training is, of course, the magic bullet that can fix everything, right? So, yeah, when you get a request like that, it's so important then to, even if you have to have this call running down the hallway with your coffee cup sloshing, you really need then to ask more questions. So what needs to be fixed? What's the problem? What's the pain point? And from there, you need to figure out, is training even going to help, or is this more of something that just needs to occur as an on-the-job intervention? And then put together a plan instead of just taking the bait and saying, okay, yeah, let's send him to training.
But how do you protect the companies against wanting to jump on the bandwagon of the latest technology or gadget or game or, you know, the latest article they read, you know, that now they want to change directions?
You know, that is a big problem, because we look at the expo hall here full of great ideas and full of technology, largely to improve the learning, improve the training, and it's very tempting to rely on those kind of things, the social learning, you know, whatever, but it always has to be tied to performance, because without performance, without using those things to improve application of what they learned, the results will not come. But it is so tempting, and we are up against such a lobby that is really designed to try and say, if we just make this look better and people learn faster, everything will take care of itself. And we, our model is one that is really disruptive, because we're saying you cannot neglect the human aspect of the coaching, the peers, the accountability, the support, because that is what is going to tip the success. All these other things are merely preparation for it.
Right, and it sounds like yours goes more to the heart of it rather than kind of the superficial.
I talked to a guy from Best Buy in Minneapolis. He talked about putting lipstick on a pig, I believe. Not my quote, his quote.
And he wasn't talking about anybody in this room in particular.
Right? No.
So I'm intrigued, Wendy, by something you said early in the conversation, with some attention toward before you ever launched the training, which suggests to me that you're talking all the way back into your instructional design and your entire learning map. A great deal of this can be influenced by the way that you designed the training in the first place. Am I hearing that right? And can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I can give you an example of what we do in our own Kirkpatrick certification. Obviously, the time that we spend together, either in the classroom or online, is important. However, you get the most value out of that when people are prepared. So we put a lot of thought into what information should people have before they show up to make sure we get the right people in the classroom. What preparation should they be doing on their own and with their manager so that they come to the class really ready to learn? And we also want them to have an eye towards, and then how are they going to use it after the program? So we build a pre-course segment. Obviously, then we build our program, and then we've also built a 6-part reinforcement that comes out afterwards. And, you know, people listening might be thinking, oh my gosh, Wendy, you probably have so many more resources than I do, so I could never do that. To put this into perspective, our company is very, very lean. We do not have many employees. The key really is that you do all of this in advance, and you get out of the event mindset into the program mindset. And that reinforcement then is largely delivered technologically. So we make good use of technology so we can be everywhere at the same time, if you will. And when that gets sent out, we get a copy ourselves, and whoever taught the course gets a copy, so we can see where we should be seeing interaction and when it's time to check. Are people participating in social media? Are they submitting their follow-up assignments? And then we know exactly when to follow up. So using technology helps us to do more, really, with no more resources, and building it in advance means it gets done, because when you're on to the next program in the next country, virtually speaking, you can be everywhere.
Now, how do you guard against when the person isn't being compliant or they're not, you know, executing the training as you envisioned that they were? I know that you have this reinforcement, but how do you get them back on track?
Well, that's a great question, and it isn't us getting them back on track. It's usually their senior managers or their peers, and that's, again, what we have to build in to the process early on and talk to the senior managers and the sponsors and saying, there will be bumps along the way, and when there are, we will identify them. We will be specific about who are the early adopters, who are those that are lagging behind. We will provide names of those people so that you can talk to them. But that's something that you're going to have to agree to, because without that, the whole thing is going to be a house of cards. So we really encourage either peers or supervisors or managers to go and say, you know, John, you're not doing what you said you would do. We need to figure out how to get that barrier out of the way. This is non-negotiable.
And you're telling them that up front, that they can expect this is going to happen. This isn't like we're doing this training and we're done. We know that a certain percentage aren't going to be compliant, and in order to get them back on track, you're going to have to commit to this kind of behavior adjustment on your behalf as a manager, right?
And we talk to them even during the training, and we say, here is the package that you can expect to help you be successful. This isn't about catching them doing something wrong. It's about helping them be successful. And we'll say, we'll be monitoring and encouraging and rewarding those kind of things, as will the people in the worksite. And know that when you're doing a good job, there will be somebody to stand by you and say, we noticed that. But also, if you are struggling or if you're refusing to do what you acknowledge that you would do, someone will be coming up to you and saying, we need to help you to figure out how to get past this.
But the Kirkpatrick methodology, discipline, rigor, without this or something very much like it, what you're describing would go unnoticed and unaddressed. That's not to be dismissed. That's key, right? It's this methodology that's shining the light on the problem and giving people an opportunity to address it properly. Is that right, Wendy?
Absolutely. And really the thought pattern that when that request comes to you, hey, fix Bob, you really need to think about what is the end result that we're looking for here? You know, what is not happening with Bob that is supposed to be producing an organizational result that seemingly is lacking? So starting with the end in mind, really thinking about what result am I trying to accomplish? Then what needs to change or what needs to happen to accomplish that result? And then you can turn your attention to the world where we're most comfortable in terms of what kind of intervention is required. Is this some training? Is it more reinforcement and support on the job? Some combination of those factors. And that really, I think, puts into perspective the importance then of each of the levels, with the learning really just being a means to an end, and our friend level one and people with their beloved happy sheets, you know, those are really just a tool to make sure that we've done a good job with delivering the learning.
And Stone, you know what else? We always say that it's good for you to be monitoring your own house and seeing where people are in compliance, because when we work with organizations and agencies in the D.C. area, one of the things that the executives say they do not want to see is their name on the front page of the Washington Post or USA Today. And there was an agency mentioned on the front page of USA Today yesterday where there was some non-compliance and there was a whistleblower from within. And we're saying, you'd better be monitoring and correcting those things before some whistleblower blows the whistle to USA Today and Washington Post, and you're ending up with a scandal on your hands.
It sounds like when you work with your clients that you have to really, it's really a partnership. You have to really understand deeply what they're trying to accomplish in order to give them the result that they think you have to move them from what they think they want to what they really want. You have to know them that well, right?
Well said. With anything in life, the better you understand the situation, the better you're going to be able to help remedy it. So that's where when people come to you with these pre-packaged requests that, hey, I know exactly what training I need, I know the topic, and I might even know how long this training is supposed to be, that's when it's time to ask a lot of questions and
that's
really
almost
confirm.
A red flag, right?
Yeah,
if
it really is.
They think they know your business more than you know, before you get started, that could be a problem moving forward.
Yeah, well, think about it this way. If you go to the doctor and you say, hey, doc, I'm pretty sure that...
Right, because I have WebMD, right?
Yeah, I've got an ulcer, and I've even picked out my medication and the dosage, right?
Now, can you share a story maybe where you've worked with a client that maybe thought one thing going in, and after having a conversation with you guys, do you realize that maybe that there was a different path that you would help them guide them through?
Yeah, I'm thinking of Emirates Airlines. In fact, their representatives are here with us right now. And their original contact to us is we want to gain more respect from the business. and that, you know, because they were, the phone wasn't ringing enough from the business side, and they had their academy, and they were only seen as training deliverers, and the business was asking them to cut the days of their programs rather than showing an interest. That was their initial thought, but what they quickly learned is, in order to do that, they needed to make more of a difference in the business impact, and they needed to spend more time talking and listening to the needs of the business rather than trying to sell their programs. So it really went from trying to create more respect into trying to create more trust as a strategic business partner. And what they learned is they were going to do a better job of listening to the pain, listening to the needs, and understanding what needed to happen before they started trying to throw training at these people.
Now, when you two come to a conference like this, how do you attack it, and what do you try to get out of it while you're here? I know you've done some speaking, but what else do you try to get accomplished while you're in town?
Well, this is such a great opportunity for us to reconnect with people we've already worked with and do some of that level three work. Talk to them about what kind of progress have you made? Are you seeing results? What challenges are you having? And is there more we could be doing to help you? It's also a great opportunity, obviously, to meet a lot of new people and really get back in touch with them. You know, I spend a lot of time in the office really running the business, developing content. So for me, this is a golden opportunity to talk to so many people in such a quick period of time. It really helps me to gel my thoughts in terms of where we need to take our business next.
Stone, you remember Jack Phillips and I had a discussion on
You guys were in the studio at the same time, right?
We were. Well, we were in a session at the same time yesterday. We had a debate.
Oh,
ROE
wow.
versus ROI, and we bloodied each other's noses a little bit. But collectively, our view was we're trying to shake up an industry that is comfortable dealing with level one and level two, and trying to say you need to be a strategic business partner, not a training provider. Our future is at stake. And even though we poked at each other, mainly we were sharing our own models with the same end in mind, that we need to demonstrate value to the business, not in terms of smile sheets and test scores.
That's right. You agreed on that, right?
We did. That's right.
Yeah, oddly enough, there was a lot more agreement than disagreement, so hopefully people weren't disappointed with that. You know, there was a moment of sparring that got a lot of good energy, but really at the end of the day, that is the goal, that we cannot keep doing what we're doing and just keep delivering training and hope this magic thing happens and results really occur. We have to be concerning ourselves with what happens when people get back to the job, and then being able to connect that to the most meaningful organizational results. So I think the movement, like I said earlier, has been good in that direction, but there's a lot more to do.
And then the final thing is we feel bad when we see organizations take this upon themselves to make sure these reinforcements are working and they're driving behavior and they have results, and then they fail to make their day in court in a positive way. They fail to see themselves as lawyers presenting a case, anchoring training to the results. And we really try and teach people that don't just hand them a report or provide them with some metrics. You need to pretend you are an attorney, you are making an impassioned case to a jury that includes the data from the special experts, and also the weeping widow testimony. In this case, the people who have the positive stories, and making sure you're impacting both their minds and their hearts with the value that has been brought to the business.
That's right. And you're a partner deeply there with their mission, not a bolt-on, you know, superficial thing.
And that's why one of our favorite lines is, there's someone we'd like you to meet. And I'm going to be doing a workshop tomorrow. And in the end, I'm going to have Joyce Donahoe from Emirates Airlines that I mentioned to say, there's someone I'd like you to meet, and have her be the testimony of the model from a client perspective, a user perspective, rather than taking the word of the developer of the model.
That's right. And then she can tell the impact, and that's real. That's not some theoretical.
That's right.
Well, everybody wins when we have conversations like this, even in a debate format. The real winner from that was the audience what you described yesterday. It has been an absolute delight having you guys on the broadcast. Before we go, let's let our listeners know where they can learn more about your work, a website or an email, where they can learn more, maybe have a conversation with you guys about this stuff.
Yeah, we would love to connect with any of you. Our website is kirkpatrickpartners.com. And if you complete the quick free registration, you get immediate access to the resources library. That's a place with over 60 items that you can access right away. We've got PowerPoint slides, white papers, articles, recordings just like the one we're making right now, all of those at your fingertips. And please call us or email us. I feel like people get a little bit shy. We take your calls. We'll talk to anybody who calls us, and we'd love to answer your questions and help you in any way we can.
Well, Wendy, Jim, Kirkpatrick, thank you both. It has been a real pleasure. And we're going to have you back in the studio sometime. Wendy, you got to come see us in the studio.
Absolutely. You're right up the road, so I'll take you up on that.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
You are more than welcome. We will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD Ice 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.